In the Alive Bible Study by Lifeway Women, you'll spend 5 weeks walking through the basic fundamental beliefs of the Christian faith. This is the perfect Bible study for a new or growing believer who wants to learn what it means to walk out your faith as a part of the body of Christ. Through this study, you'll understand the meaning and importance of historic Christian practices like baptism, prayer, worship, the Lord's Supper, tithing, missions, and more. Whether you go through this study with a friend or use it as an outreach tool in your community, you'll be challenged to endure and leave a legacy of faith behind. Learn more at lifeway.com/alive. That's lifeway.com/alive. This is Elizabeth, and we are dropping in an extra episode today to make sure you know about some other Lifeway podcasts that we think you would enjoy. Today, we are sharing an episode of His Glory, Her Good with Amanda Mejias and Corinne Allen. His Glory, Her Good is a podcast for women serving in student ministry. We thought you would enjoy this particular episode about fighting shame with Aunt P because it will provide helpful tools for handling shame in your own heart and with the girls in your life.
Welcome to the His Glory, Her Good podcast, a podcast for women in student ministry. We're your hosts, Amanda and Corinne.
We're here not as experts, but to walk alongside you through the beautiful, messy, hard, but always holy parts of ministry.
So with our eyes on Jesus, let's walk together and keep going for her good, but ultimately for His glory.
All right, we are going to have a great conversation with our dear friend Aunt P, We are going to be talking about shame. And before you pause it and go, never mind, I'll wait till next week's episode. I think it's such an important conversation to be talking about. Mm-hmm. And Amanda, as we were talking, I think shame is so tricky because there is in the Christian faith, like we are sinners in need of God's mercy. Mm-hmm. And so there is now Holy Spirit in us to convict us of sin and to draw us closer to the Father. But then there's real shame that doesn't come from God. Mm-hmm. And I think the enemy is really crafty and just good at making shame feel like conviction. So we think we're like being religious by like carrying the shame because it's our duty and it's what we deserve. But then it's almost like the enemy cloaks shame, like, or real conviction as just like, oh, that shame, like blow that off. Like it doesn't matter. Like it's just shame, like run away from that. And so it is something we want to be people who are broken over our sin, but we don't want to live in a spiral of shame because that doesn't come from the Lord. Like if he really died on the cross for our sin and he knows us fully and loves us completely, then what do we do when we feel the shame is real? And as people in ministry, especially that want to do right by God and the people that we're serving, how do we actually navigate this? And I think it's just something that, at least in my story, shame is a huge part of a lot of the ways that I operate and defend myself is shame and fear. Shame and fear is kind of the back and forth for me. And I don't know, like for you, I know we've talked, but I think it kind of resonates with us both.
Yeah, I remember back in the fall, I had a car accident where I was trying to make the right decision by going around a car, by car, I mean ambulance, who was just driving really strange in the road. And so I was able to cut around. I was like, I'm going to go slow enough so that way if they turn left, I'm like, there's plenty of room for them to get over. And then the ambulance did a full on U-turn right across the front of my vehicle. And anyway, it was just like, clearly no one should U-turn in the middle of the road. There was no lights on. It wasn't like, you know, it was just a random sweet 19-year-old girl driving an ambulance who just, you know. So then I was like, okay, well, fine, like they'll cover it. It's like no big deal. And then they came back and they claimed shared liability because I tried to pass them and there was a small section of like a double yellow lane that I had crossed over just enough for them to say it was your fault too. And I like felt so dumb, but I felt like I told my husband, I was like, I feel like I got in trouble for something I didn't do. And like, I almost feel embarrassed to like tell people that, like, you know, like that, oh yeah, well, it's shared liability. So like I messed up. But in my mind, I'm thinking like, did the best I could. But I'm like, this feels like it goes deeper than just an ambulance, you know, accident right. kind of thing. That like, why does shame all of a sudden rise to the occasion so quickly? And I'm here to like try to defend myself. And so I do think as ministry leaders, like we're going to have to like have these conversations and get real about ourselves, because our teen girls are struggling with shame. And so let's jump into this conversation with Aunt P.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, hey, Aunt P. We love you. We're talking, you know, thought it would be a light conversation to bring you in.
I love these breezy episodes.
I'm just glad that you're the one having these conversations with us, because it isn't like, like we could have brought in, there's so many incredible therapists, you know, alongside yourself.
Well, so many more.
But to have somebody like you who can keep it real and direct, but also not feel like at the end of a conversation, I feel like I just got punched in the gut, you know? Yeah. Like you are just, you are a life giver. Yes, Aunt P for a reason. So like Corinne was talking about, just this battle of like shame, yeah. Holy Spirit conviction. Mm-hmm. How do you like help people kind of navigate the difference between the two?
Well, it's actually pretty clear. I mean, because you talk about there's Holy Spirit conviction and there's guilt mm-hmm. and then there's shame. And so shame is a basic way of saying it is shame is I am unworthy or I am wrong. And guilt or conviction of the Holy Spirit is what I did was wrong. And then shame is, I am wrong. I am worthless. I am these things because of something that's happened to them or something that they've done or something that was done to a person or like that, like in your situation that was done to you and you feel shameful or, you know, and so that is basically it. So conviction of the Holy Spirit is going to be more, as Corinne said, it's more, the, you know, we're safe in the Father. You know, we are unworthy, but he gives us worthiness. He says to run to him in our sin and cling to him. He's waiting for us to come. There's hope in that. There's a positive way to approach a guilt or a conviction. That's it. It would feel more positive. And then shame is more very condemning. And you know, mm-hmm. anything condemning is from the enemy or from our own inner voice that's negative to ourselves and not showing compassion to ourselves. So like Romans 8:1 says, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And so if you sit there and you go, is this shame or is this guilt or conviction of the Spirit? It's actually, you know, or do you feel condemned? Do you feel mm-hmm. worthless? Do you feel bad? Do you feel despair? Do you feel all these really kind of dark, distant from the Lord feelings? Mm-hmm. That's what the enemy would like us to distance ourselves from the Lord and feel like we're never going to be forgiven. So all those lies are wrapped around shame.
That's so good. What are ways, Corinne, that you feel like, and, you know, Aunt P, I would love to hear maybe just women that you see on a regular basis, like how does shame surface itself? Like how, cause I don't feel like we're just like, we walk out one day and we're like, I feel shameful. Like even with like my whole like ambulance story, like it wasn't like the feelings I felt in the moment. I'm like, nope, this is shame. It was like weeks of processing mm-hmm. later, looking back, I was like, I felt really shamed about that. But what are some other ways that like women kind of display or how do they feel shame?
Well, I mean, it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's all over the place. It can be anything from, like I said, something that we've done and a mistake we made, something that's, you know, like a true rebellious sin. And we feel shameful that we did it or guilty that we did or convicted that we did it, all the way to things that were done to us. People have experienced abuse or sexual abuse in particular can cause shame. People will feel shameful to tell that or to be vulnerable mm-hmm. about that, to social media, people comparing, I feel ashamed of the way I look or ashamed of the way, I talk.
I'm ashamed of education. How messy my kitchen is.
I'm ashamed of that my fancy tree is not as fancy as that person's fancy tree. You know, just because social media gives us such a place to compare, and comparison can cause shame. Like there's milder shame, and then there's really intense traumatic shame from abuse. And so it's I think you look for, you know, isolation. The countenance of someone who's ashamed. Obviously, when we feel shame, we isolate. We kind of try to hide. We are withdrawn. You know.
Yeah, I think when I talk to women and friends and girls, I think there's also so much shame that creeps into our processing mm-hmm. of things. So mm-hmm. you just had a conversation and it like went maybe okay, but yes. now you're feeling shame. You're like, well, I said something stupid or yeah. they looked at me this way, or I did make a mistake. Like you were saying with the car thing, and it's totally valid, but now I'm processing and I'm like, man, if I would have really been like better or smarter like then, and that's at least how it has worked in my life and in conversations yeah. where it's yeah. like, yeah, I think there's moments where in the moment we feel shame, but I think more often than not, it actually like only grows the mm-hmm. more we process it or right. think about it or compare ourselves to other people. And I think for me, if we think about like Chip Dodd's like 8 core feelings mm-hmm. and shame is one of those like yeah. emotions we've been given. The yeah. unhealthy side is that toxic shame, yeah. but the invitation side is humility. Mm-hmm. So the invitation, I guess, the way I see it is we're not trying to live like we don't mess up or that right. we don't have things that we should like make right. And mm-hmm. that we in and of ourselves, like we have no good apart from Christ. And at the same time, it's the humility to go, but the goodness I live into and the forgiveness I live into is something that has been fully offered to me. Yeah. And so I am broken over my sin and broken over my nature that chooses things other than God. But I'm also humble enough to say, I don't have to have it all together. Mm-hmm. Like people don't mm-hmm. see the gospel clearly through mm-hmm. me trying to act like I don't have things. But you know what? They also don't see the gospel clearly when I am living in a spiral of yeah. shame.
Right.
Right. I think in ministry especially, like you are expected to be so perfect and on yeah. all the time and like not make mistakes.
Or you don't have faith if you're not.
Yeah, exactly. Like, are you not praying yeah. hard enough right. or whatever? So not only do you feel shame, it's like you feel like you're bad at your job all of a sudden. But then there's like the spiritual side that God's disappointed in me. So I just feel like ministry, like so many of you are listening, are women who are on church staff or ministry, and you feel even more shame when maybe you make a mistake, whether it's a silly one, like, you know, did attendance wrong or did your credit yeah. card statement wrong yeah. to like, you know, maybe you had a conversation with a parent that went bad and all of a sudden now there's shame yeah. there. Like, I do think that this is not just a conversation that excludes one group of people.
Right. Right.
And that's why we really wanted to talk about it, is because like at some point, if you haven't already, yeah. you will encounter shame. And I think we have to ask ourselves, like, what do we do
right
when we encounter shame?
You being or us being perfect or appearing perfect doesn't help anybody.
No,
it just doesn't. You think of, you know, you're sitting there looking at this problem, she's got a perfect life, she's, you know, she's yeah. perfect. I can't share my mistakes, my weaknesses with that person because they're going to judge me and da da da. When actually we're all on the same playing field, we're all on the same plane.
Yeah,
you know, we all make mistakes, we all struggle. And the lie is that we're alone in that mm-hmm. and that we're the only one that's done it. And our shame can just chew us up to mm-hmm. say, well, you just, yeah. And again, I think you're so right, Corinne, because even the slightest, you leave a conversation, you feel like you said something dumb or you really regret it and you're chewing yourself up. And that's so, so hard. And it's mm-hmm. so hard to get out of, but just kind of going to with what you know is actually true.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the evidence? We can get on overthinking later, but that kind of, you know, to get out of that spiral of shame.
Yeah. What other practical tools do you feel like we can kind of use when it comes to dealing with shame?
Well, there's so much power in just being vulnerable as a leader. Like when we have opportunities to share with others in ministry, you know, kind of places we've been and things we've gone through. I remember when I first came to Nashville and I was new at my church and I went to my first women's retreat and they'd asked me to share. And I shared something very vulnerable about my divorce and what I'd been through. And I mean, so many women came up to me afterwards and felt a freedom to actually share theirs, because it was like I opened a door to say, we can talk about these hard things and it's safe and no one's going to condemn you or no one is condemning me. And so it was beautiful. People came to me and talked about their own issues with their marriages or what they were going through with the divorce or whatever. So it just, you know, that kind of freedom and vulnerability breeds freedom and vulnerability.
I love that.
That's cool to think about it from that perspective of being on the receiving end of someone else, like sharing about
yeah.
something that the enemy could absolutely use as like shame to keep them silent.
Yeah.
I think it's really scary though, to like feel like you're going to be the first. Yeah. And yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah.
Us like keeping it together doesn't help other people, but it does protect ourselves in the short term.
Yeah.
Like, and if you have had someone respond negatively or even playfully to you sharing something, so that's kind of even some of my story is I, my whole life really have had to work at. I'm not trying to like seem like I have it all together, but I am really scared because there are times that even people that loved me and meant well by it, when I brought a mistake forward, I was made fun of because it was like, oh, you never make mistakes. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you did this. Yeah. And they meant it as you are not disappointing us. Like it's totally like fine. That's surprising. It's so not like you. But even that like spoke shame into like, well, I don't really want to keep telling people if I'm going to get some like big reaction or a joke that makes me feel dumb or makes me feel silly, that I think sometimes it feels easier in the short term to be silent because it protects us. Mm-hmm. It may not help other people, but if you're in survival mode, it's like, I right now don't even know if I care to help other people. I'm just trying to like not get hurt. But in the long run, it is hurting us.
Yeah. So being vulnerable, giving people a place for them to respond with vulnerability. And there's always going to be people that are, might be judgy or whatever, but humility, like you said earlier, humility really speaks and humbling yourself before others and saying, I made a mistake or this is what I did. And it really makes a way for conversation around vulnerability. Brene Brown shares a, just one of her quotes. She's an amazing shame researcher. She's not a believer, but she writes an incredible amount of material on shame. And she said, shame derives its power from being unspeakable. And that's so true. So the hidden, those hidden feelings, once they come to light, they can be dealt with. So also, again, trying to get into conversation with someone that you feel like is struggling. And really, it's, you don't have to go, is that shame or not shame? You, anything that's looking negative or withdrawn or sad or upsetting or is probably, or upset is probably
if you feel shame. Like you can't talk about it.
Yeah. It's, there, someone's probably dealing with shame. Yeah. That's what I mean.
What would be some good questions? Because I feel like even some women, like you're saying, I couldn't walk up and be like, hey, you look shameful. I don't even know if some women would know, like, I'm dealing with shame, because that's like almost like all they know. Like they have become so familiar with a lens of shame over their lives. So what would be maybe even some ways that you could ask someone, like, maybe not directly, what are you ashamed about? But how could we maybe get around to that?
I mean, real basic questions. If someone's upset, like, are you okay? How can I pray for you? Like, what's going on? Like, this is a, and again, if it is a safe place.
Sure.
Say, this is, I'm a safe person to have a conversation with. I would not share something going on. What's going on with you? Like, giving somebody, and praying, you know, again, enter the, you know, ask the spirit to help you with the conversation. If someone's, if you feel like you need to approach someone, or, and then people, a lot of people will just be, they're so ready. You know, God built us to confess. Actually, it's so healthy for us to confess, not just sin, but anything we want to share with someone that's heavy, that we, you know, bear one another's burden. So I would just say checking on someone, because you can't just go, are you shameful? Or I heard, you know, if you do know anything, I heard something happened with your mom and I'm so sorry. Like, are you okay? Can, do you want to talk about it later, or when we're not around here? Like, give people opportunity for privacy.
Sure.
Give them opportunity to, you see them and you're checking on them, or make yourself available if you want to reach out to me later. There's, it's hard to, you know, to just have a basic question other than how are you? What's going on with you? I mean, Amanda, do you have anything?
No, I mean, I think that's really good.
More intense. It's just the basics of seeing people where they are and praying for them and asking them how they
are. So good.
Yeah. I think talking to like women in student ministry, like making mistakes, a lot of them are younger. You're like, I'm like in my 20s, like I've made my first big mistake. And then it became like the laughing joke in the office, and like how to like get over that. And now they don't know they're dealing with shame, but they're calling me and they're saying like, what do I do? And I'm over there like, can I have his number, please? I'll take care of your shame. The reality is not everything can just be like, hey, let me call somebody, talk about it. Like, I do want to encourage you, like, there is stuff in my own life that, like, I'm not, like, going to talk about it at the next girls ministry retreat. But, man, I'm going to talk about it with my counselor.
Yeah.
And so just, like, if there is something that you are dealing with, like, with that you're feeling shamed over, you're like, is this shame? Is this guilt? Like, and you're like, where do I begin? If you don't have a trusted friend, like, find a counselor. Like, that is a great, like, place to, like, navigate those feelings to then feel like, hey, maybe I can invite people into these parts of my story. Yeah.
That's good.
Corinne, I would love just to kind of hear your thoughts on like thinking about in ministry, like we have to love and steward our teen girls well. So what's the danger of us not dealing with our own shame?
Yeah, I think I heard someone say it recently that the hurt that we don't let be transformed is hurt that we end up transferring to others. And I think that's so where for my story, like counseling is so helpful. It's for me such a safe place to begin working through some that shame that then gives me language to then share with maybe my inner circle of like friends or a mentor. But counseling is where I can go, okay, I'm feeling this in my body, or these are the thoughts I've journaled. I really am not ready to bring that to someone who's going to be like, oh gosh, I'm so sorry. Like, I don't know what to do to help. But I think when we're not aware of how we are living in shame or seeing it through a lens, I think a couple of things can happen. I think a girl can share something that is either really similar to our story. And so what was supposed to come across is like protective, because we don't want them to like walk into the same thing we're dealing with. And we don't want them to live with the shame we're holding on to. Now we come across harsh. We come across very like, well, don't do that. And we're honestly like kind of going into this panic of like, don't do this. And you just need to like, believe me. And what we're really trying to communicate is like, there's pain in my story and there's humility that I'm working through. And I want you to know, like, this is not your story. But I think when we are punishing ourselves for things that we have done, it's really easy to use that mindset to hold other people to really hard standards and to be harsh, even if we meant to be loving, but to come across in that way when we're holding ourselves to this impossible standard. I think over time it makes sense that we would then be holding other girls, other leaders to the same thing. Like, the things that other people do that bother us the most are usually the things we're doing or that we've done. And why does it bother us so much? And I think instead doing the work to go, okay, I've got some shame. I've got some like real need for God in my life. And so does she. And I want to sit with more compassion than I lead with like criticism or harshness. And I want to actually like sit there and go, I know the heaviness of shame. I'm actually carrying some of it right now. And if there are conversations that you're not best equipped to have, like also having the wisdom to connect someone, maybe to someone else, if you're, if it's too tender to be talking about right now.
That's good.
What do you think, AMP?
I think too, I thought this is a great question. I thought about it. Like, we really, shame is really, this sounds bizarre, but it's unnecessary for us as believers. We just have all these benefits in Christ that we should just, let's shove shame aside and let's run to the Father, run to Jesus and sit with Jesus. You know, so many stories of him just meeting people in their shame and just wiping it out.
Like, yeah. Just
cutting right through it. And so I think, not to say we're a better example, but we're better equipped to help someone in their shame if we have dealt with ours. And I've heard someone say, you know, you can't give what you don't have. You can't help someone have what you don't have. I have already learned. And so again, it's the discipleship, it's the mentoring. As we go before them, you know, as older people who've walked through faith and walked through shame and overcome it. And so, and it's hard. I think also it's hard to bear the fruit of the Spirit when we're ashamed. We're walking in shame because, again, we're not receiving the forgiveness, the acceptance, the worthiness of Christ over our sin, and for, you know, when we repent and ask forgiveness for our sins. But I think we're more fruitful as leaders once we've dealt with our shame. And again, like I said, like, withdraw. If there's something you're dealing with, withdraw and have someone else. I'm not feeling like leading prayer tonight because I'm, and that's normal. Like, we all have things we deal with. No one's perfect. I'm walking in the fruit of the Spirit 100% of the time because I have dealt with shame. Like, no, because things will constantly hit us, like you said, and we have to process them and deal and again, run to Christ. But I think that's it. Just trying to deal with our shame first. And there's something you mentioned too in a question about transfer. Can we transfer it? I don't know that we can transfer it necessarily, but it can grow under our leadership if we're not careful to deal with our own.
I experienced that being on church staff. Like, my boss that I had at one point, like, just he was experiencing so much pressure to perform, to get good numbers. And if he didn't, then he was shamed for it, right? You know, you're penalized or you're whatever. And so what does my boss do? He it I don't know, doesn't transfer, but then he begins like, oh, you, I remember getting in trouble once because I like forgot to put pens out on the table for Sunday morning, you know, like just something that like isn't that big of a deal. But like, you know, remember getting asked to like called into his office and like shut the door and him saying like, hey, we just really need to make sure we put the pens out. And I'm like, am I in trouble for that? Like, I didn't know. But it's because like he was experiencing his own pressures and everything coming from up top.
Yeah.
That then all of a sudden it transfers. And I think sometimes as youth ministry people were like, oh, you're not coming to camp this year. So like, you know, what's going on? Yeah. Or, you know, missed another Sunday morning. I had a group of high school girls that like could not stand their leader because they just felt like they just could never measure up because she was just constantly shaming them for sitting on the back row or not coming to every week. And I think it's because like, what else is going on there?
One thing I say in counseling is the guilt trip is the ticket to the guilt trip takes you farther away from someone. Mm-hmm. Like the guilt trip never drives you towards someone else. Like the train of the guilt train leaves the station.
Yeah.
It doesn't come back. It doesn't draw you to people. Guilt is a driver away. And so when, you know, so when someone is kind of a, uses that kind of shaming, but there was probably been done to them. But again, that's where you can help someone distance from the Lord by you being distant from the Lord.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like coming from somebody who was like in a place who felt like, you know, I could do no wrong, like, or else you're going to like, I remember coming to Lifeway and getting put on the publishing team, which I'm like, still like, couldn't even believe someone like let me on the team. But I remember my first big mistake. And we got the books in. Morgan's in here listening. She, I don't even know. I think it was Truth Filled. It was a Bible study that came in, and we got like our like copies in from the printer, and we like looked on the spine, and like every like spine that says Truth Filled was like Turth Filled or something that. Like it was like the total, like the title was wrong on the spine, which is like a big deal. Like
that happened to us and once in women's.
It's
in
terrible. And too. I like remember like because I like had all this like shame that I had dealt with from my past ministry job, like being terrified to like text my boss and my team leader and be like, can I tell them? Like, will I be like, is this the end of my Lifeway career? 1 year in, see you later. You know, like I was ready for the door to be shut. Yeah. And I mean, I just remember like it physically made me sick and texting them and then what they were able to respond with, like they had no idea. They were just being normal. But it was just like they were like, oh, we make mistakes like this all the time at Lifeway. And I'm like, I just cost thousands of dollars to Lifeway, you know. And it was just, I was met with such compassion and love. And so for those of you who are listening, you're like, I'm dealing with my own shame and I don't know how to like deal with it. Or is there hope of finding a place? Like you do not have to like stay in a place where you are being shamed. Like if you can't have conversations and navigate that well, like I just want you to know, like not every place has to exist that way. But I know in a ministry, we just, we carry a lot of pressure.
Yeah. And when you're that upset over something that's happened and you receive mercy instead of what you expect, it's like,
I know it's truly such a gift that we get to offer other people and their shame.
And in the same way, so like you were saying, maybe we can't transfer shame onto someone, but we can absolutely, our shame can impact what we say to someone else that then might then lead to shame in them. But then the opposite is true, that mercy, compassion shown towards us, we can't make someone receive compassion, but we can sure pass it on in a way that we at least use our words to build up, that then they can also have the courage to like cling to that compassion. But I think it's so real when you've had it go wrong in the past, you are preparing for that again. And you're like, what do I do when it's not as bad as I was expecting? I don't know what to do with this kind of mercy.
It's so foreign. It can be very foreign to us to get that kind of mercy. We're expecting condemnation.
Yeah, for sure.
Of the level that we have on ourselves.
Yeah. And like we said, like we have to be willing to like get in the weeds with our own shame because, man, our teen girls, like they need us. They need us to like help them navigate their shame and call out the fact that they are no longer condemned because they are in Christ Jesus. And like, what does that actually look like? So, Aunt P, I would love for you to just kind of help the leaders who lead teen girls specifically. Like, what are ways we can help our girls like recognize their shame, maybe talk about their shame?
I think one way just to tackle on a broad sense, a lot of girls deal with negative thoughts, negative self-talk, negative things against themselves, mm-hmm. when they're shameful or not. So I think even just having, for tonight we're going to talk about, you know, getting up our heads with negative thinking or negative talking yeah. to ourselves. And so approaching the subject of self-compassion, what that looks like, because people don't really think, what does that mean? Yeah. It's like treating yourself like if you were very upset, Amanda, and I ran into you in the hall and be like, oh, honey, what's wrong? Like, well, I've had this ambulance thing. And I'd be like, I'm so sorry. Gosh, I'm so sorry. Let me pray for you. Or let's talk about, you're fine. Yeah. It's going to be fine. You know, and so to say that, to what if you turned when you're upset instead of those things that a friend would say to you to yourself? Like, what if you said,
oh, we talked about this.
I mean,
this all
I'm so sorry. Gosh, you know, You didn't mean to. I know I didn't mean to. You know, I mean, like, talk kindly to yourself like you would talk to your best friend. Like,
yeah.
And even have them practice that, because that is such a wonderful tool to help any of us, you know. And one thing I encounter so much in the counseling room is that. And people really struggle to even yeah. do that. It's like, well, I can't actually do that. Like, oh, yes, you can. Like, yeah. treat yourself like a friend.
Yeah. And teen girls would never be mean to their friends. Like,
yeah.
So, but to be able to help them, like,
to help them, like, what do you need to hear when you're sad?
Yeah.
And you want to hear it from a friend. Well, actually say those things to yourself yeah. and to help give them tools to fight shame. And again, mm-hmm. offering a safe place to talk about anything mm-hmm. and be vulnerable, and modeling vulnerability is a huge tool, and transparency, and that it's not weakness. It's actually very powerful, and especially in the walk of a believer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually say that very same thing to people all the time, and I'm sitting in this moment with a good, healthy conviction of, like, this has to be true for you too. So my sister, mm-hmm. she's 2 years mm-hmm. younger than me, and man, she means more to me than anything. Mm-hmm. And she's my best friend. And I just think about if she brought me things, and she has, I could not imagine, like, treating her with shame or giving her just, like, harshness and meeting her with, like, well, it's game over for you.
Or
like, I can't believe you.
Absolutely.
Or, yeah. And that, like, would break my heart to know if that was how she was talking to herself. And I think just sitting in that moment of mm-hmm. the Lord being like, but if it's true for her,
yeah.
that, like, she is covered with mercy mm-hmm. and grace, then it has to be true for you
yes.
too.
Yes.
Mm,
so good.
It's beautiful.
Well, MP, thank you so much for
so
being
fun.
Here. We always like to end asking our guests, like, something. Oh, no. If you think back, so, like, when you, I mean, you've been in a ton of different ministry roles here at Lifeway, other roles, like,
yeah.
I'm sure you have made your fair share of mistakes.
Oh.
Thinking back to maybe the first mistake you ever made in ministry, what would you go back and tell yourself then?
Oh, gosh. I would, first of all, I just have this reaction. I'm just in trouble. Like, if someone's like, hey, could you text me or could you even call?
Oh, that's the worst.
What have I done? Oh, my gosh, what is it? Let me think of what I've done. You know, so I would go back to myself and just say, you're not in trouble. It's okay. Just,
yeah.
you know, walk it out. You're going to survive whatever happens. And I don't know if this is true of other companies, but Lifeway, I have made several very expensive mistakes in my career here, but I can't really remember the first one.
And they still keep you here.
Yep, I'm still here because of the kindness that yeah. our company is definitely walks in yeah. biblical truth and values, and there's grace and mercy for mistakes. And everyone has made one. Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't met the person that has, but I would say to myself, it's going to be okay. Like, don't freak out. Like, take the next step to, you know, own it mm-hmm. and also own it. Yep. The faster you own something and reveal it, it can be fixed. It might can be caught, you know, mm-hmm. like, don't try to hide and go, oh, maybe they won't see that mm-hmm. misfire in the memo to the president or whatever, you know? And so no, own it and grab it. And mm-hmm. cause there's so, and as a leader too, when someone on my team would own something that they did wrong, I'd be like, just the faster you own it, the faster you're going to get mercy
yep.
and the faster we're going to be able to fix it or just address it. And then you're not suffering anymore. And yeah. I'm going to get so much, I'm getting fired, you know? No. So just own it, because humility makes a way.
Mm,
that's, it just does.
So good. Well, thanks, guys. And we will be back next week for our
Yay.
Final episode of this season,
man.
Which is so crazy.
Flew by.
It really did. Hey, friends, we are almost a month into the release of a new Bible study from our friend Scarlett Hiltabeidl called Ashamed. And honestly, this is really where this conversation began with Corinne and I just talking and navigating through dealing with it with our teen girls. But man, what an opportunity we have through this Bible study of introducing our girls who are dealing with shame, which, spoiler alert, is probably most of them, into the Word of God and what God's Word says about shame. And so you can grab your copy at lifeway.com and we will link it in the bio. His Glory, Her Good is a production of the Lifeway Podcast Network.
We're your hosts, Corinne Allen
and Amanda Mejias.
We are so grateful that you joined us and we'll see you next time.
It's hard to know a God we don't understand, and it's hard to love a God we don't know. But our God wants to be known and loved, and He's told us a lot about Himself in the pages of His Word, particularly that He is a three-in-one God. Although it is a crucial and classic Christian teaching, understanding the Trinity can be intimidating at first, but it doesn't have to be. Join best-selling author, Bible teacher, and podcaster Tara Lee Cobble as she walks you through the triune nature of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, in her new book, The Joy of the Trinity. As you turn each page, you'll discover a beautiful, foundational view of the Trinity that will not only inform how you relate to God, but give you a deeper intimacy and greater joy in knowing Him. Order your copy today wherever books are sold.